Welcome to Grace Bible Study. I'm Jerry Porcy, and I'll be your teacher throughout the Grace Bible Study video series. Now, before we get started into the Holy Scriptures, let me introduce you to our system of mailing out videos to you. Now, if you've received this video, you're watching the beginner series of Grace Bible Study. This is Volume 1. Volume 1 has two teachings on it, and all the videos will have two teachings on it. And what we'll have in the beginner series, we have volumes 1 through 10. Now, if you watch this volume 1 and with both of the teachings on it, and you enjoy that and you would like to get more and you'd like to get on our mailing list, just give us a call. We'll give you the number in just a little while. Just give us a call and we'll put you on the mailing list to receive the beginner series of Grace Bible Study. Now, after you receive all 10 of the beginner series of Grace Bible Study, you give us a call again, and if you really enjoy the beginner series, we'll put you on the advanced series. And the advanced series, once you get on that list, you're permanently on the list. Now, all of this is absolutely positively free. It's not going to cost you a nickel. Our job is to teach people and win souls to Christ, and that's what we're going to be trying to do. So there's no charge for the Bible study on the video. All right, let's get started in the Holy Scriptures. Now, what I want to talk to you first of all is salvation by grace through faith. I want you to go with me to Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Now, one of the first things you have to understand is that you're a sinner. Now, a lot of people think they're not sinners, but let's go through the Holy Scripture and see what God says about us. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 3. Notice in verse 10, the Bible says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Now, I fall in this category, and you fall in this category also. The Bible says here that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Notice in verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So what we have here is we have a problem. We are sinners. We have sinned against the Lord. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So we have a big problem. We are sinners and we have sinned against the Lord. Now I want you to go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, I want you to notice in verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, the Bible says that God loved you, he loved the entire world, and he sent his Son down here to die and pay for our sins so that we might be able to obtain eternal life. Notice in verse 6 here it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now, whenever I read verse 6, I always ask two questions to people. Now, here's the first question. Now, I want you to read this scripture down here on your screen. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Question number one, did Christ die for the ungodly? Yes, he did. Now, question number two, if Christ died for the ungodly, can an ungodly man get saved? Well, yes, he can. How? By trusting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, believing he died and paid for all their sins at Calvary. Now, you'll notice that you've probably heard on TV or here on the radio or maybe went into a church building or something and heard a preacher. And a lot of them, they preach, well, if you sin, you go to hell. And if you don't sin, you go to heaven. And so a lot of people think, they say, well, in that case, I'm not a sinner. I don't sin. Well, the Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the way, did you know that most of the sins that you do with your mind? Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. All right, in Galatians chapter 5, notice in verse 19 it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So what we have here is we have a list of the deeds of the flesh or the works of the flesh. And if you will notice here, that most of these things are done with your mind, like hatred and envy and emulations and wrath and stuff. Okay? So you can present yourself holy before men, okay, but still have hatred in your heart and envying in your heart, and you're still sinning against the Lord. Now, I want you to notice in, let's go to the book of 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So what we have here, we have a scripture saying, if you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. Now watch verse 10. It says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So what we the Bible says here, if you go around saying that you haven't sinned, well, you're calling God a liar. God says you have sinned, okay? You have sinned against the Lord. And if you say, no, Lord, I hadn't sinned, well, you're calling God a liar. Now, you don't want to do that, do you? So the best thing to do is just be truthful with everyone, be truthful with the Lord, and realize the fact that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Now, there was this man, his name was called Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul did a lot of bad things. He persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ before he got saved, and he persecuted the church of God. And he had problems. Even after he got saved, he still had problems in the flesh, just like you and I both do. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 7. Notice in verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, now, Saul's name was changed to Paul. He was the apostle of the Gentiles, and he writes the books Romans through Philemon in the Bible. Now, watch in Romans chapter 7. Notice in verse 14, the Bible says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, so what we have here is we have this man, the Apostle Paul. Now, God Almighty called him. Jesus Christ appeared to him on the way to Damascus and called him to be the apostle of the Gentiles. And yet he's writing to the Romans and he says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. So even the Apostle Paul admits he has sin that dwells in him. Now watch, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So the Apostle Paul says, the good things that I try to do, I don't end up doing those. And then the evil things that I don't really want to do, that's the ones I end up doing. Okay? And he says, why does this happen? He says, because of the sin that dwells in me. Now, you're not better than the Apostle Paul. Okay? You're no worse than Paul, and he's no worse than you. You've got sin that dwells in you, just like the Apostle Paul does. So the best thing to do, like I said, is just be truthful with yourself and admit that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. Now watch, let's go on. Verse 20 again. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now the Apostle Paul had sin problems just like you and me. He admits it. I admit it. Now do you admit it? Okay? I'm just as big a sinner as the Apostle Paul. Now watch this. Now I want you to go to 1 Timothy. All right. Now you got to understand the things that the Apostle Paul went through. Okay, before the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him on the way to Damascus, the Apostle Paul was going around killing people because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was putting them in prison. He was having them beaten up and all kind of bad things. He was just persecuting the church. Now I want you to understand this and watch. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Notice in verse 11, Paul says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, pay attention to verse 15. Look here on your screen. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, I got a question for you. Who was the chief of sinners? Well, there's someone out there that claims that. And he was the Apostle Paul. And he said here, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners, of whom I am chief. See, people, God Almighty sent Jesus Christ into this world to save sinners. You got to admit you're a sinner first before you can be saved. Now watch, I want you to go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, I want you to notice we're going to start in verse 9. It says here, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking, and he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, first of all, before we go on, have you ever met someone that claimed they were righteous, you know, the holier than thou kind of people? I've seen plenty of them. I've seen people say they don't sin, they don't do evil things, they don't do bad things, all that kind of stuff. Now, there's a lot of people out there that feel that they are righteous, okay, and they despise others. Now, watch this. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee is your religious leader, okay, and your publican would be your sinner. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So if you're out there saying, oh, I'm not a sinner, I don't sin, all this kind of stuff, guess what? The Bible says that you will be abased, and the ones that say, Lord, I'm a sinner, please be merciful unto me, those are the ones that will be exalted. Okay, this is the way God looks at things. He looks upon the heart, people, and he wants to look upon your heart, and he does look upon your heart, and he knows you're a sinner. He's waiting on you to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, I want you to go back up to verse 9. We're still in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. It says here, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, I want you to notice, we're going to highlight in on the scripture here, trusted in themselves. Now, who did they put their trust in? Well, these people trusted in themselves. Now, there's a lot of people out there that trust in themselves or the things that they have done in order to obtain salvation. There's a lot of people that think, well, if I keep the law, if I keep the Ten Commandments, okay, God ought to let me into heaven. Well, that ain't going to happen, and I'm going to give you some scripture on that in just a moment. All right, there's some people out there say, oh, well, I was water baptized. I got to be going to heaven. Or I belong to such and such church over here. here. I'm bound to be going to heaven. And there's a lot of people that trust in themselves or trusting in their works for their salvation. People, you can't get saved by doing the works of the law. It's not going to happen. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, I want you to notice in verse 16, it says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." People, you cannot be justified by doing the works of the law. It ain't going to happen. You know, there's a lot of people out there that think, well, if I keep the commandments, I keep the law, then God will let me up into heaven. All right, well, that ain't going to happen. Now, since we're in Galatians, go to, if you're following along in your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 5, notice in verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says here, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That yoke of bondage is the law. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Now watch verse 4. It says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace." Now, if you're out there, people, and you're trying to be justified by the law, and you're going, well, I'm going to keep the commandments, I'm going to try to keep the law, and I think God will let me up into heaven, and you're trusting in keeping the law, guess what? You are fallen from grace, and that blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed, it has no effect on you whatsoever. Notice in verse 4 again, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." And if Christ is no effect over you, his blood has no effect over you, and you are yet in your sins, people. You cannot be justified by doing the works of the law. It ain't happening. Now watch. I want you to go to, Galatians chapter 3, since we're talking about the law a little bit. Notice in Galatians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." So what we have here is Jesus Christ, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the end of the law to righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now watch, go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, let's notice in verse 20, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now watch verse 21, it says, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." All right, people, now here's something I want you to see. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, watch. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice in verse 19 the Bible says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now watch verse 21. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now here's the situation, people. You've got sin in your past. You've got sin in your present. You've got sin in your future. God Almighty took all your sin, your sin in your past, your present, and your future, and he took your sin and dumped it on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ died and paid for your sin so that you could have eternal life. And the righteous Son of Almighty God, God took the righteousness of Christ and he put it on you, the believer, so that you could be saved, so you could be righteous in God's eyes. And that's the only way that you can be righteous, people. You cannot be made righteous by doing the deeds of the law. You cannot be made righteous by doing water baptism or doing any of these other things, okay? You've got to have a Savior, and there's only one way to get him, and that's to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now remember, and that was in Luke chapter 18. We showed you scripture about them that trusted in themselves. You remember that? Now watch. Let's go to Ephesians. All right? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now I want you to notice in verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, people, I want you to notice here in verse 12, we're going to highlight it on your screen. It says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Got a question for you. Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you trusting in yourself? Okay? Are you trusting in your baptism? Are you trusting in walking down an aisle? What are you trusting in for your salvation? Okay? There's only one way to be saved, and that's to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing he died and paid for all your sins at Calvary. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You gotta have a Savior. There was only one given. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died and paid for your sins. Now, I want you to go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You know, a lot of people say, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, all that kind of stuff. You know, salvation by grace is just as simple can be, people. There's a lot of people out there to try to make salvation complicated. They say, oh yeah, well look, yeah, you got to believe on Jesus, but yeah, you got to go to church, can't miss church, all right? Oh yeah, and you got to keep the commandments, you got to do that too, all right? Oh, and you got to give your money to the church, you got to help the nursing homes out, you got to do this, you got to do that, and they try to get you to work you to death, people, all right? Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We'll cover that scripture in a moment, but for right now, we're going to Romans chapter 5. All right. Notice in Romans chapter 5 in verse 1 it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now I want you to go down to verse 12. It says here, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Notice on your screen, free, 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 okay? It says free gift. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that was Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, people. Now, the Bible's telling us here that we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I want you to go to Ephesians. I've quoted that a couple times. I want you to read it on the screen. All right? Ephesians. Ephesians, I want you to notice in chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, I want you to notice here, it says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." You can't be saved by your works of righteousness. Now, I want you to stop for a moment. Let's just say you possibly could, all right? Now, let's say you went up into heaven, and somebody asked you, say, "Well, what did you do to get here?" And you can say, "Oh, I did this. I got baptized, and I helped people in the church, and I did all this kind of stuff." And the other person say, "Well, how did you get here?" And you say, "Oh, well, I kept the commandments, and I did this, and I did that." In other words, you could boast about what you did to get into heaven. Well, that's not how it's going to be, people. The Bible says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And a lot of people think, well, yeah, you're saved by grace, but you need to do the works too. No, you don't need to do the works. You should do the works, people. There's a difference, all right? Now, I want to show you some scripture. I want you to go to Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Now watch this, people, okay? I'm going to show you that the Apostle Paul stresses the fact between grace and works. They are not the same. Now watch. We're in Romans chapter 11. Notice in verse 6, it says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." People, grace and works are not the same. Works is works. Grace is grace. They're complete opposites. It's like on and off, okay? They're not the same thing. You're either saved by grace or you're saved by works. Which one is it? Okay? Well, under the dispensation of the grace of God, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. In fact, while we're talking about it, let's go to our time chart, and we're going to show you the difference between the time we're living in now, it's called the dispensation of grace, and the time where they were under the law. Now, you can see on the time chart here that there was a time period that they were under the law, their works were involved, and there's plenty of scripture about it. But during the dispensation of grace that we are living in today, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And there's plenty of scripture on that also. All right. Now, as we go on to the next study, you will learn the basics of rightly dividing the word of truth. There are some differences in this Bible. Some things it says, in some places it says one thing, and in some places it says another, and these things don't match. We'll get into that in the next study. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. Now, but we're concerned about your salvation right now. Now, I want you to go to, let's go to the book of John. Let's go to 1 John. All right. In 1 John, I want you to notice in verse 10. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. It says here, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Okay, I got a question for you. Where will you find eternal life? Will you find it in the Ten Commandments? No. Will you find it in water baptism? No. Will you find it in speaking in tongues? No. Will you find it in keeping the law or anything else? No. Will you find it in church denominations and stuff? No. Where is eternal life found at? Let's read the scripture. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Eternal life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want eternal life, you got to go to the Lord Jesus Christ to get it. That's the only way to get eternal life, people. Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins, was buried and rose again so that you could have eternal life. Now, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much understanding you got. When we read this next scripture, you will be able to understand this because it is very, very simple. Now watch. Notice in verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. People, that's pretty simple, isn't it? It says here, he that hath the Son hath life. In other words, if you've got Jesus Christ, you've got life. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have life. That's as simple as it gets, people. You've got to have the Lord Jesus Christ in order to have eternal life. And you know what? God Almighty wants you to know that you have eternal life. You know, there's a lot of Christians out there, they go to churches and stuff, and they're like, well, I sure hope I'm saved. I hope I go to heaven. I really would like to go to heaven. Boy, I sure hope I'm saved. Hey, people, look, let me tell you something. God wants you to know that you have eternal life. He wants you to have it up here. He wants you to understand that He sent His Son down here and that you can know that you have eternal life. Now, watch verse 13. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. All right? So what we have here is we have scripture halfway through here. It says that ye may know that you have eternal life. Do you know that you have eternal life, people? I know I have eternal life. You know how I know? God tells me that He wants me to know. Do you know that you have eternal life? If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for all your sins at Calvary, you've got the Son, okay? You can know that you have eternal life because God wants you to know. And you know what? It's a pretty good feeling knowing that you have eternal life. I don't have to worry about, oh, am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not trusting in my works. I'm not trusting in religious denominations. I'm not trusting in keeping the law or any of that kind of stuff. I put my trust 100% in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for me at Calvary. All right, now I want you to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to notice in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now, people, if you don't get anything out of this Bible study today, at least learn what the gospel is, okay? This is where you'll find the gospel. All right, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice in verse 1, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. All right? So what we have here is this is the gospel given to the Apostle Paul, that Christ died and paid for sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now watch in verse 2. Let's go back up to verse 2. It says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, can you believe in vain? Yes, you can believe in vain. You can believe the gospel, believe that Christ died and paid for your sins, was buried and rose again, and end up going to hell. Why? You believed in vain. There's a lot of vain believers out there. I used to be a vain believer, okay? I'd always believed that Jesus Christ had died and paid for the sins of the world, paid for my sins and everybody else's sins, okay? But I was brought up and taught to trust in myself. I was taught to trust in my works and in my goodness would get me up into heaven. Well, guess what? I found out that's not true. I realized I was a sinner. I'm like, well, if you got to be good to get into heaven and I'm not good, where am I going? All right? Well, there's only one solution to that. I was going to go to hell, okay? Now, I realized this, and I found out what it took to be saved, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for all my sins at Calvary. Now, watch. There's a lot of people out there believe in vain, and let me show you what happens. First of all, I want you to understand there's three kinds of believers out there. There's true believers. All right, these are people that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. All right, then we have vain believers. All right, that's the people that believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, believe Jesus Christ died and paid for sins, but they're trusting in themselves. All right. And then we have non-believers. These are people that don't believe in God. You can call them atheists or whatever you want to call them. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe none of that kind of stuff. All right? So we have non-believers, vain believers, and then we have true believers. Which one are you? All right? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10. Now watch. In Romans chapter 10, I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul is teaching some things about here about the nation of Israel. Now watch, let's go up to verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now here, what we have here is, we have the Apostle Paul praying for Israel, okay? Because they have a zeal of God. And they believe in God. They pray to God all the time. But you know what? He says here, not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness. You know what God's righteousness is? His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and paid for your sins and shed His blood at Calvary. All right? He is God's righteousness. And the Bible says, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, there's a lot of people out there going about to, like the Bible says here, to establish their own righteousness. Okay? They say, well, if we do this, then God will please God and He'll let us into heaven. And if we do this, this will make Him happy and that ought to get us there. All right? All this kind of stuff. But God says there's only one way to obtain eternal life, and that is through His Son. But they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, have you submitted yourself unto the righteousness of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? You say you believe in Jesus Christ. That's good. That's fine and dandy. The Bible says the devils believe and they tremble. Okay? You need to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people, there's a difference between believing and trusting. Okay? To believe something is to acknowledge something to be true. Okay? But to trust something or trust someone is to rely upon them. Okay? Are you relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Not only do I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I am trusting and relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation, okay? I realize there's nothing I can do for my salvation. It was all done at Calvary. God Almighty took care of everything at Calvary so that I could be saved. He took care of everything at Calvary so that you could be saved. All you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now watch. Let's go down to verse 9. Now, people, watch. This is plain and simple, okay? Now, if you don't know what it takes to be saved, you're going to find out really, really quick. Now, watch verse 9. We're going to have it up on the screen here. Now, watch. Verse 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, I got a question for you. Have you ever called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to save you? You know, I know a lot of people that pray to the Lord, and they pray, "Oh Lord, please let me win the lottery. Let this medical problem I have go through okay. You know, Lord, please don't let me get in a wreck today," or something like that. But have they called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation? No. They're relying upon themselves for their own salvation. Okay, people? Have you ever called upon the Lord? Have you ever realized you were a sinner? And then realized you needed a Savior and called upon the Lord and asked Him to save you? Think about it for a moment. When did you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? If you've never called upon Him to ask Him to save you, people, you're not saved. Now watch, let me show you. I was in the same situation. I feel for you, okay? I understand where you're at. Now watch. Notice in verse 14 it says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So here's the situation, people. Now I want you to notice on your screen how God's got it set up. First of all, He's got preachers and He's out there and He sends the preachers out. He sends them and then they preach. Now these preachers, they preach to people. And all the people they preach to, some of them hear. Now, believe it or not, people, and I've been down this road, where you're out there preaching, and some people are hearing, and some people are not. You know, they're thinking about Nintendo games, or they're thinking about what's for lunch, or what, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're not listening to the preacher, all right? So some people don't even hear. Now, they're out of the ones that do hear, all right, some of them believe, okay? Do all of them believe? No. Okay? They don't all believe. Some of them that hear, and then out of the ones that hear, some of them believe. All right? Now, here's my situation. Now, I was born and raised that you had to be good to be saved, and you had to keep the commandments and all this kind of stuff, and then you could have eternal life. But the thing is, I had never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to save me. So what we have here is, I believed, but I never called. You see on your screen there, it says we need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened was I had never called. I was a believer, but I was a vain believer. Just like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, unless you have believed in vain. And what happened was I believed in vain. And people, when I found out what it took to be saved, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in a heartbeat. Okay? I didn't waste any time. I trusted Him as my Lord and Savior. Now, what about you? Have you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him to save you? Are you a vain believer? All right, now watch. I want you to go to John. Let's go to John chapter 3. Very popular verse here. John chapter 3. Notice. John chapter 3 and verse 16. It says here, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And you know what bothers me? When they got people that go around condemning other people. God didn't send His Son into this world to condemn people. He sent His Son here to save people. Now watch. I want you to go to, let's go back to Romans. Go back to the book of Romans, and we're going to go to, let's go back to Romans chapter 5. Now, I want you to notice here in Romans chapter 5, now remember we read this scripture already. Verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." And you know, there's a lot of people out there, they don't like this scripture. You know why? They say, "Oh, God only saves righteous people. He doesn't save ungodly people." Well, the Bible says here that Christ died for the ungodly. All right, go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, notice in verse 5 it says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So what we have here is, the Bible says, them that justify the ungodly. See, people, I want you to understand we are living during a time called the dispensation of the grace of God. God is not only saving good people, He's saving bad people too. I want you to go to Matthew. Now, you probably got to this point in the study and you go, whoa, preacher, wait a minute. What do you mean God saving bad people? Hey, people, Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. I qualify. I fall into that category. I am a sinner, just like you. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. All right, now I want you to go to Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, I want you to notice that Jesus Christ is speaking a parable, okay? He's talking about a time in the future to come. Notice in verse 1 it says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city." I got a question before we go on. Let's suppose you were a king and you made a marriage for your son and you invited people to come and they wouldn't show up. All right? They refused to show up and you sent your servants out there to go do all the inviting and everything, end up beating your servants and killing them. How would you feel? Would you get mad? You'd get a little upset, wouldn't you? All right, well, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us about the kingdom of heaven. God Almighty promised salvation unto the nation of Israel, which we'll talk about later. Okay, he promised salvation unto the nation of Israel, and they would not come. And God offered salvation unto the Gentiles by grace through faith. Now watch, let's go on. Verse 8, "Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests." Now, people, I want you to understand, one day there's going to be something called the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be married to his bride, the Bible says. And the thing is, God's going to have guests there. He invited the nation of Israel to come to the wedding. They would not come. They refused to come. There was just a few choice people that decided they would make it. And God took them and blinded the nation of Israel. And he says, okay, I'm going to give salvation unto the Gentiles. Not only am I going to give salvation unto the Gentiles, I'm going to give it to them by grace through faith, not of works lest any man should boast. And I'm going to save, just like it says in verse 10 here, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now today, during the dispensation of grace, God Almighty is pouring out His grace upon the world today, and you can be saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now I want you to go to Ephesians. Now, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to show you the time chart here again, and I want you to understand this big section in the middle here. It's listed as the dispensation of grace. Let me show you where we get that from. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, notice in verse 1. It says here, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Okay? So what we have here is God is giving a time period called the dispensation of grace. He'll save you by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's saving the ungodly. He's saving bad people. He's saving good people. He'll save anyone that puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's the way God's doing it today. I want you to go back to, let's go back to Romans. Okay? Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I tell you what, let's not go to Romans chapter 4. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Okay? Now, I want you to notice in Romans chapter 11, verse 1, it says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Talking about the nation of Israel. God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not that what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, now watch, this is very important. Notice verse 11 on your screen. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Talking about the nation of Israel. Jesus Christ came onto this planet to, he came for Israel, the Bible says, and they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what has happened is Israel has stumbled and fallen. Now watch verse 11, it says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So what we have here is God looked at Israel and he says, okay, y'all don't want it? Fine, I'm going to give it to the Gentiles. And not only am I going to give salvation unto the Gentiles, I'm going to give it to them by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if you were Israel, would that make you jealous? Think about it. Now, watch verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now, what we have here is, in the book of Romans, is written by the apostle Paul. Now, I want you to notice in verse 13 that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. He teaches the doctrine of the gospel of the grace of God. You won't find the gospel of the grace of God in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is not there. They are teaching something called the gospel of the kingdom, which we'll learn as we go into the basics of rightly dividing, okay? There's a difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. They are not the same. The gospel of the kingdom has water baptism in it. It has works. You have to endure unto the end and all this kind of stuff. On the gospel of the grace of God, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, and you're sealed unto the day of redemption. It's a completely different thing, people. Now, I'm hoping that you've enjoyed this so far, because when we get into the basics of rightly dividing, you're going to understand things a little bit better. But if you're out there today and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You don't have the Holy Spirit of God. And it's going to be really, really difficult for you to understand the Holy Scriptures if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Now watch. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice in verse 10. Oh, notice in verse 9 it says, But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now if you want to understand your Bible, you've got to have the Holy Spirit in you. There's only one way to get the Holy Spirit in you, and that's to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for all your sins at Calvary. Now remember, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.